This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael W. Dean and Davy Barker?
Sure can.
I don't feel it. I can't feel anything. What's going on? No, I'm saving my voice because I'm starting my tour. I'm running for president under the Libertarian Party because I've joined the Libertarian Party because that's just what all the cool, hip, happening kids are doing these days. So I have to go campaign. Yeah, that's not true. But I'm saving my voice. I love Dan's intro. Man, I can't wait until I extricate myself from this show and I'm just the man behind the curtain interrupting it. It'll be fun.
You're the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So, Davi.
Yes.
You went to the Liberty Forum. Tell us about it.
I sure did. Liberty Forum is the
Speak
winter
Speak up, son.
Event.
Talk like you're on radio.
I am on radio.
There you go.
So, the Free State Project is this movement to move libertarians to New Hampshire to get active for liberty. And they have two annual events, one in the winter and one in the summer. And the one in the winter pretty much hides in a hotel and doesn't leave because it's just so cold.
They don't have. They should have a hockey game or something.
I don't want to play hockey.
I know. It sounds better.
I just
than
wanted
it
to drink
be.
Coffee and like hang out in a hotel room. But it's the stuffier of the two events. It's sort of, you know, people wear their suits and sit in rows and listen to speakers, and there's after parties and stuff like that too. They outgrew the hotel in Nashua. It used to be in Nashua, New Hampshire, which is this weird little out-of-the-way town. Now it's in downtown Manchester, which is cool because it means you're in walking distance of a handful of, you know, restaurants and coffee shops and stuff like that. I spent a lot of time at Murphy's Diner in downtown Manchester because it's one of the only restaurants that takes Bitcoin. And
you can't,
it's cool, you know?
You can't live if you're not spending Bitcoin, right? I'm just poking, man.
In fact, most of my I currently hold more Bitcoin than dollars. So,
yeah, me too. I hold like $16 in Bitcoin and like less than that in dollars. So, send your money to the Freedom Fiends. tell me more about it, man. I've never been. I've been to Porkfest. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to go again. But yeah,
so it's sort of like it's like Porkfest, except nobody's building anything.
It's like college. It's more like school. Or like a corporate,
it is more like school. It's also
retreat.
It's more conservative. Like this one is sort of geared toward the New Hampshire native who isn't necessarily a member of the Free State Project, but you know they want to sort of tell them who they are and what they're about. So you get a lot more sort of
small
conservatives showing up. Yeah, which is okay, I guess. But you know, it's not my forte.
Yeah,
but you know, there's a vendor area. I do well in the vendor area, and I got to speak about zombies because that's what I like to speak about. And I was also on a handful of podcasts. I was on School Sucks, finally. We couldn't believe it. Brett and I were talking, and I have never been on School Sucks until this weekend. And that's strange because we've known each other for so long and have so many overlapping interests.
Yeah.
I was on the Rebel Love Show.
I should have been there. I just have some insider knowledge about the audio on that episode of School Sucks and live and learn.
Audio is a
live and learn.
We know.
Yeah, we know. Stage we your game. Gain staging, people. Gain staging. Brett's great. I love him, and I will give him free audio help for as long as he needs it. But he should ask me before, not after, because of everything that you can do wrong in audio. Like a lot of it you can sort of fix in post, like if there's background noise or if it's too quiet or whatever. The one thing you cannot fix in post is if it's distorted. Can't fix it, man.
Yeah. The other thing you can't fix, and this happened on the Rebel Love Show, is if your mic isn't plugged in.
Oh my. Really? Well, there was more than one mic and somebody else's mic was picking you up from across the room or something?
It wasn't me. It was one of the other people on the show. It wasn't that the mic wasn't plugged in. It's that somewhere the wires were crossed, and so we were hearing it in our headphones but not picking it up in whatever was recording, and so one of the mics didn't get picked up or broadcast. I don't understand all these technical things, but he's going to try and fix it in post.
That's why you should always make more than one recording of anything that's important. Like, you know, there should always be someone with a video camera up close that's also recording audio. Like, the video camera audio is not going to be great because it's going to be several feet away from the speaker's mics, but from the people who are speaking's mics. But it's, you know, I mean, put it this way, like, any of the great men throughout history. I mean, there aren't even any great men, but, you know, anything that was important historically, you know, a lot of this stuff never got recorded, man. We probably wish there was a crappy recording of some things we could listen to, but there's nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a great point. That,
what's that?
There's a good chance that Derek J was recording that interview on his video camera. And so he's maybe he's the put them in contact and see.
Yeah. He's the libertarian NSA. He's always filming.
Yeah.
I'm also the libertarian NSA because I'm always interrupting.
I had this guy, this will give you a sense of Liberty Forum. So Porkfest, this would never happen. But at Liberty Forum, I had a guy come up to my table and word one out of his mouth, he was yelling at me. And he was trying desperately to convince me that Barack Obama should be impeached because he's not a U.S. citizen. He was born in Kenya and raised in Indonesia, and everything in Hawaii is fake. And he's telling me all of this. And I'm like, I don't care. Like I don't care where he was born. I hate his policies, right?
Yeah.
I was like, if he had the same policies, but he was born in Hawaii, that'd be better. And he's like, yeah, because he'd be an American citizen. And I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You would rather have like a socialist born in Hawaii than a libertarian born in Kenya? And he's like, yes, absolutely, because he'd be an American.
Wow.
And that's the kind of like, I cannot understand that mentality one little bit. But luckily this guy was not given an opportunity to speak. He had to pay to be there. So,
that's actually a caricature we're given of a lot of Americans, like in Europe, that they're all that kind of loud and I'm an American and all this kind of thing, you know?
He was a caricature. Absolutely. He was a parody of himself.
Wow. Well, I have a theory for, you know, liberty is growing and there are from time to time people that bother people, and I'm not talking about him, just in general, you know, things happen at events. There's always somebody that people wish wasn't there when it's over, and libertarians have a real hard time. I mean, they'll eventually kick someone out. You know, they won't do it as quick as other people generally because they believe, well, everyone needs to be able to learn. It's like, I think there's two things we need to add, and I'm half joking and half serious. And one is, every liberty event, you should have one person there who's not afraid to violate the non-aggression principle. And everybody knows somebody like this. And everybody I know went to school with somebody who would be happy to pounce, you know, punch somebody in the face once and throw them out the back door physically. And there are people like that who are even, you know, kind of like solid-minded. Like they're not going to do it to somebody who doesn't, isn't asking for it. And you just bring
well,
that
this guy.
This
guy wasn't asking for a trouncing. I think this guy needed some patient, tender love and care.
I'm just bringing this.
He needed your help, Davy.
Let me reiterate. So I'm talking about like, nah, that's not what I'm talking about. So there are always people who show up at events and, you know, just make it hell for everybody. And libertarians will not throw someone out or punch them in the face as quick as, you know, people would at a biker rally, let's say. If you just think of that guy you went to high school with who still tries to talk to you on Facebook, he would love to come to your liberty event and, you know, be the pit bull. And not even like, you know, you're acting in proxy of like, this is my bodyguard or anything for the movement. But you just bring that guy and let nature take its course. The other thing is, I think, and buy him some beer. It would help. And the other thing is, I think that Davy and I should start selling libertarian indulgences, kind of like the Catholic Church used to, where you can buy this shiny, badgy looking certificate that enables you to violate the non-aggression principle once and have a free pass.
Would you do it before or after you violate the non-aggression principle?
It's a lot cheaper if you buy it before. If you buy it, it's kind of like insurance. Like it's a lot cheaper to buy the fire insurance than it is to rebuild your house after it burns down. So yeah.
Well, you're talking about paying restitution to society. Is that what you're saying?
No, you'd be paying restitution to Davy and I. It'd be kind of like buying carbon credits in liberty.
Right.
Yeah.
But we're society, right?
Yeah. No, we're a small part of it.
But you find that when you have somewhere where there is bouncers who are not afraid to give someone a kicking round the back, that people behave themselves a lot more. There's a sort of infamous venue in Glasgow that used to be an old sort of ballroom called the Barrowlands. And the bouncers there are, I know from someone who used to know someone, that's all I'll say, who was a bouncer. And if you got into any kind of trouble there, they would take you around the back and they would really give you a damn good kicking. And then see when people started to, that sort of news filtered through, there was a lot less trouble for a while.
Yeah, yeah. And that would solve the problem of, like, you know, I mean, I saw this going back into punk rock too. Like, there's always, you know, you'd have a show with like 600 people and two skinheads would show up and be just messing with everybody and like terrorizing 600 people or just messing with
people. We need a good name for this. You know who should officiate this?
The designated aggression principler.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys know who Rich Paul is. Paul is famous for his 420 activism in Keene, New Hampshire. He announced the founding of a new church at Liberty Forum, and it's called the Church of the Invisible Hand. And it sort of begins like, in the beginning, there was demand, and the invisible hand said, let there be supply, and it was good.
I wonder if that's inspired by the Libertarians Against Humanity card. One of them is thinking that the invisible hand is actually Jesus.
Yeah, maybe. Well, that's a pretty, I mean, that's not that unusual of a thought. Maybe Jesus specifically is an unusual thought, but the idea that the invisible hand is somehow part of the divine, I mean, I know a lot of people with that in mind.
I think Glenn Beck may have actually said the invisible hand is Jesus. I don't know. Okay. I'm just making that up.
Well, you know, maybe Glenn Beck is one of the estimated prophets of the Church of the Invisible Hand.
Yeah.
The Church of the Invisible Hand doesn't have prophets. It has estimated prophets.
Isn't that a Grateful Dead song? You hippie.
I don't know. This is Rich Paul's gag. I'm not going to do it justice by saying it, but I think he should definitely come up with some sort of indulgences for that.
I'm calling you and him a hippie, but how unhippie is it for me to know that the Grateful Dead have a great song? I mean, a song called Estimated Prophet, spelled like prophet leader. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe...
got any drugs? Where the drugs at, man? Where the drugs at? Open my beer for me.
You're not a dead show, Michael. Calm down.
Oh, sorry. All right. Nod, nod, wink, wink, dog whistle. Put everything together we just said.
It's a cat whistle,
sense.
Michael.
It's a cat whistle.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from Shiny Badges.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
The best stuff happens during the breaks.
It's true. I've seen it.
Dan, what did you say about Brian Jonestown Massacre and Bouncers?
That club I was talking about, the first time I'd ever seen the Brian Jonestown Massacre live, it was when they were opening for Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, who one of the guy, I think it's Peter or something, used to be in the Brian Jonestown Massacre once upon a time. As did a lot of people. And they were kind of doing their first song, and Anton Newcomb, who's the singer of that band, has a lot of... people know him for being kind of a bit unpredictable, violent.
He has pulled guns on people. I know that guy. He's mentally ill and probably a good guy at heart. But yeah, I know him from San Francisco, and he's definitely pulled guns on people and lives to get attention, whether it's good or bad. He happens to be a brilliant musician, though, unlike most people who live to get attention. So,
oh no, he really is, and he has an interesting character. But I remember I watched someone, like, so they're doing their first song. There's not a lot of people in the venue because they're the support band, and not a lot of people have heard of them. And this guy throws a full pint of beer right over Anton Newcomb, and then everyone's sort of looking at each other like, what's going to happen? But before he can even react, there's like five guys grabbing him and basically kicking him down the stairs, because the bit where you watch the bands is upstairs in that venue. So they basically kicked this guy all the way down the stairs. And I don't know what happened when they were outside, but I dread to think about it.
Yeah, I say good for them, because a full pint in a glass bottle, you know, glass made of glass, could kill
you. It was
actually
plastic.
Oh, okay. Oh,
then I mentioned that.
Then I don't know. No, you didn't mention that. Then I don't think it's proportionate. But
we're not allowed
glass,
Michael.
Oh, because you can't behave. Those people are why you can't have nice things, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Why glass is banned in nightclubs here is because of people who use glass as a verb.
As a verb?
Wait, glass is banned in Scotland?
You didn't hear the part of that, Javi. Glass is a verb, just like in nightclubs. To glass someone.
Ah.
Common phrase, yeah. Yeah, you could have, if someone says what happened to him, well, he got glassed, you know, that somebody put a pint glass over his head.
Is it banned by...
Speaking of drinking verbs, I've had to completely change my stance on the pop versus soda thing.
Oh, it's an East Coast thing, man. What do you call it?
What? Do you know this debate, right? Like soda versus pop. And my position has always been you can't drink a verb. It's just, it's clear that it's soda because you can't drink a verb. But I recently learned that milk is a verb.
To milk something?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so now I'm in a quandary. I don't know what to call it anymore.
Man, you city boys.
You can milk a cow.
I grew up in a small town where my aunt's farm was, you know, we'd go there every Saturday or Sunday. I mean, I used to drink raw milk as a kid, and I don't like it. I didn't like it the first time I tasted it in 1972. And so when libertarians say to me, hey, man, have you tried raw milk? I'm like, I will fight to the death for your right to drink that crap, but don't stick it in my face. I've never liked it.
Yeah. But, I can't stand raw milk because it does not mix with coffee properly.
Yeah, it doesn't. But I've milked, and that's the most important thing to Davi and I. I've milked cows. I've milked a cow, you know, when I was like 6 or 7. And I also once saw... The first thing I learned about where babies come from was I saw two cows mating on my aunt's farm, and I ran and told my aunt, I've heard of the cows are trying to jump on each other.
Like, is that not exactly what happened in The Simpsons to Homer when he's at the zoo and he sees two chimps and he asks the zookeeper what they're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Is that not like
the
exact same?
I think his dad lies to him, I think, but yeah. Is that King of the Hill? I think that's King of the Hill.
No, it's the Simpsons. I think it's the Simpsons. Yeah, it's the Simpsons, definitely.
Well, they always copy each other. So, yeah, I want to talk more about events. Like, you know, you go to some Liberty event and somebody's whistling and someone else doesn't like it, so they blow an air horn in their ear, and then that person says you violated the non-aggression principle. And
that would never happen.
And drama ensues, or you know, some insane children who may have been the people that Molyneux DMCA'd show up and actually show their face and are walking up to people saying, where are the drugs at, man? Where are the drugs at? And stealing things and generally upsetting everybody in the Liberty community. And if they've moved there, that's going to be very interesting because... he who cannot be named, move over. There's a new nameless terror in town.
Sounds awful. That sounds terrifying. All the nameless terror that's everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, and people always
I'm staying in Scotland. Man.
People always have these long discussions of, well, that doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. People, you sound like damn liberals when you do that. It's okay to just punch someone in the face if they're up in your face and not have a debate of whether it's a non-aggression principle violation or not. People learn, man.
For me, they sound quick. Like legislators. Like
they really do.
The non-aggression principle's written in
yes.
stone.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. And it's not the only
like
question.
Like it's not a framework.
Yeah. And it's not the only question. Right. You could not violate it and just be a total no-one-should-want-to-be-around-you person.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
He was way ahead of you.
I'm taping because I'm the Libertarian Central Scrutinizer.
You know, the Libertarian Party is fishing for a new logo soon. Maybe I ought to design.
I think it should be Cantwell. I think it should be a paperclip with shimmering light coming out of it. Now that Cantwell, you know, Cantwell's joined the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire.
Well, he's going to run for office, maybe?
He's going to what?
Is he going to run for office?
I don't know. I can't read his stuff. I just heard it mentioned in passing. Jim Jesus told me it and said, man, that's funny.
That's weird, because there is a kind of Libertarian Party in the UK, but they hardly stand any candidates. I don't even know if they stand any candidates, but I'm just like not even remotely
interested.
It's not
UKIP, right? You're not talking about UKIP.
No, that's not UKIP. They're conservatives. I know, and they've actually been infiltrated by a lot of socialists lately.
Yeah, but people kind of think of them as the Libertarian Party there because they have more traction than the real Libertarian Party there. right?
This is so much debate in the UK among libertarians about UKIP. They're obsessed about it. You know, I'm actually writing an article where I'm just going to put out, we've talked about it in the show a few times. I'm writing this big long article where I'm just going to list all the statist nonsense and get it done with.
You know where I first heard about UKIP was on Peep Show. There's when Jeremy goes to that like self-actualization class and then Bones his teacher and then she won't graduate him to be a life coach. He gets mad and he starts yelling at her and he's like, what about Sally? I saw her UKIP membership card. She doesn't deserve to pass.
I like how you get the weird jokes in British TV shows because not a lot of people do.
No, I had to, well, I got it. I knew it was something bad, but I had to look it up. I'll be back.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
That's not that different from what libertarians
do. Here we go. And we're
like
so busy talking
dramatically
that we can't even do talk radio. I work up a sweat doing talk radio. I just changed my shirt and my pants. Do you guys work up a sweat?
I do, yeah.
Tired afterwards.
Yeah. Tired,
maybe
but rejuvenated.
Because it's 5 a.m.
Yeah, it is. You're totally dedicated, man. You get up at 5 a.m. And we learned the hard way the other day that Scotland starts their daylight savings time 3 weeks after America because the previous shows you've done, you'd been on at 6 a.m. to be on at, you know, midnight central here. And then we had this country we live in, had daylight savings time. We forgot to tell you or didn't think about it. And then we found out that, like, you know, you were 20 minutes late getting on the show with Derek J the other night because we didn't know, man. He did a great
I was in a mad panic.
He did a great job filling in though. And I looked it up. It's different in different countries. I looked it up for Mexico too, because we have a host there now too. It's different there too. Different from you and US. But so you and your wife Katie, Dan, kind of have a nation of two, aren't you? Are you a nation of two, like my wife and I?
Oh yeah, yeah. Our ideal Saturday night is hanging out together, the two of us.
Yep. Do you have friends?
Yeah, we've got.
I have friends. We have friends, but we don't have any friends in our town, and we like it that way. So, you still there, Dan?
Sounds like maybe we lost Dan.
Yeah. So, I'll ask you.
But I got something kind of close up on what we were talking about. Do I have friends? Yeah. Do I have friends? I have friends. Most of my friends are on the internet.
You're libertarian online. You know, there should be an acronym for that. Like, hi Dan. Like maybe LOL.
Did I get disconnected?
Yeah. Like maybe LOL.
Libertarian online.
Yeah.
LOL.
You know, Jim Jesus and I came up with a great term for sovereign citizens. I want to debut this tonight. attorney at LOL.
That's good.
That is. All right, so you had something important to say, Davi?
Yeah, I want to kind of like, this is something before seldom discussed and crucially important
that you were going to talk about before the crown kicked Dan offline there.
Yeah.
Darn crown.
Yeah. All right.
So what libertarians don't seem to get is that the non-aggression principle is not legislative law, it's customary law, and that the boundaries of it are muddy. And so here's what I mean by that. Let's say, for example, you're in line at a grocery store, and you're going to purchase something that belongs to the grocery store. In a free society, this is a totally private scenario. The grocery store is making an offer, you're making a purchase, it's all private property, and it all belongs to the grocery store owner until you've paid for it. They probably don't have signs up that say, please don't shoplift, please don't put things in your pocket before you leave the door, but this is all sort of understood as customary law, right? That you're expected, even though there's no sign, to pay for things before you leave. If somebody cuts in front of you in line, or if you cut in front of somebody else in line, that's probably going to result in some sort of a dispute or altercation. Is that a violation of the non-aggression principle? The property you're standing on belongs to the grocer. It doesn't belong to you or the person in line. And yet, the custom is so ingrained that that would cause a conflict, but that is essentially a de facto violation.
I think they stole your time, and I think time is property.
Hmm. Okay. So I saw a photograph in Hawaii where people were waiting in line and they were not standing. They had all taken off their flip-flops and left them lined up in front of the person they were all waiting for.
I like it.
And so it's the same thing. It's a queue, and they're sort of taking turns. They've homesteaded their place in the clerk's time, but they have a completely different custom than I'm accustomed to, right? Hmm. And they would say the same thing, that if you went up and kicked their shoes aside and stood in line or just bypassed the row of sandals altogether, then they would be upset. They would say that was a kind of aggression or something. But that's a custom that can only develop in a culture where sandals are common, right? Like the businessman who has to like untie his shoes is not going to ever develop that custom. So this is what I mean. Like the boundaries of what is homesteaded and what is owned and what is right, they're very muddy, and people don't seem to want to acknowledge that. It's like libertarians think they can write the perfect non-aggression principle to cover all scenarios, and it's just not going to happen.
You know,
there's going to be a guy who punches you if you cut in line, and that's going to, you know, that's going to just happen.
Yeah. And you should expect it, and it should be encouraged even at libertarian events, I think. I'm not
going to be part
kidding.
Of the patrol that goes and picks the guy up for it in a free society either. But, I'm going to let that guy get away with it.
No, but, you know, I've recently reconnected with a friend of mine I used to play in a band with a long time ago who's he loved to tell stories about bouncers beating people up in bars, and he's a weightlifter, and he's a small government Republican, and he's very curious about liberty. I would love to start taking him to liberty events. I think he'd be fun and useful. And, you know, after he punched a few people who deserved it, he might eventually become a full-on voluntarist.
He's serving so valuable Doug, public service.
He lives in Boston. It's not far from Porkfest. So Doug, I'm taking you to Porkfest. I'm buying your ticket. All right.
We're kidnapping you and bringing you to Porkfest blindfolded and gagged so that you cannot, you know, rat on any illegal activity.
Well, yeah. And Davi, well, we can kidnap him because Davi and I are going to print the libertarian indulgences that we are the only people that can issue them, kind of like carbon credits. And we can grant a libertarian for a price. You know, they get to violate the non-aggression principle once, and they're cheaper if you buy them in advance than after.
You know what? How about this? Indulgences are in beta, and so the first one is going to be free, and I'm going to give it to Michael W. Dean.
Well, you and I are the only people, since you and I have the intellectual property on this thought, we patented it, trademark Kitty Feet Media right now. And shinybadges.com incorporated. So we own it. We've said it. We have the first use of it. We've established that on the blockchain of podcasting. And so you and I are the only people that can issue them. So you and I could issue one and then trade it to the other person. We can't issue them to ourselves. I think that should be part of the rule.
Well, yeah, I just issued it to you.
You need checks and balances. Yeah. So
right.
Are you making it right now? Are you on the same computer you're using Theme Phone on? You didn't set your laptop up, did you? Davi always gets dropouts because he can't. You know how most people fidget? Davi does Photoshop and he makes great art. It's kind of like my mother.
Dedicated.
My mother used to doodle when she was on the phone, and she wasn't an artist. She was not trained, but she could draw really well. And all she drew were women that kind of looked like her and cats that kind of looked like her.
Do you know what's so weird? Katie, actually, a lot of the time we're doing interviews on our show, Katie will sit and draw like that. She'll just sit and doodle whatever.
You should put them on the...
Because she does the exact same thing.
You should put them on the episode. Scan them and put them on the episode. Take a picture.
We did that once.
I'd like to see that.
One time.
Yeah, I'd like to see
that. Yeah, we did it for one show. Yeah, but like some of them are kind of weird. But
the more famous you get, the more people are willing to look at your drawings, even if they're not great drawings. Like, you know, if you could...
Marilyn Manson,
Nick Cave. Yeah, there's a few of them out there. So I was going to ask, Dan what he thinks about this concept of libertarian online or LOL. Not to be confused with attorney at LOL, which is what we're calling sovereign citizens who think magic words can get them out of the state's way. But so since you guys are LOLs, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying like, oh, you're horrible because you've only experienced liberty online. I think you're better off than everyone else in a way, because you don't have all of this, I'm kidding. I go to events.
Beef.
I went to Porkfest once. What do you think of all this beef that you don't have any you don't deal with? And it's not like there's a lot of like voluntarist events in Scotland. There are none. Yeah, maybe you need to start one and deal with a bunch of beef and headaches. And so what do you think? What do you think about all that?
Well, Katie and I are like that. We are sort of a little bit reclusive. You know, we do have friends and stuff, but
Nation of two.
Yeah, we prefer to be like, you know, just ourselves. It's just our way. You know, we get invited to meet up sometimes, like, but we haven't been able to make any. But the kind of thing is, we've often talked about this. We've said if we went to something like Porkfest, what would happen if we went there and, like, we really didn't like a lot of the people? Because well, we don't know.
You're celebrities now, though, because you're on the Freedom Fiend, so... Half the people, instead of nobody knowing you, half the people would be going out of their way to shake your hand, and the other half of the people would be silently cussing you or cussing you to your face. And then you just punch them. And then you just punch them because you're Scottish. It's okay.
It's your culture, and we celebrate that.
I know. If you punch somebody, you could say you're denying me my what's the word, Davi? What's the PC word for that?
For
is
what?
It God-given right?
Yeah, you could say, you know, you could tell them they're being racist for denying them their heritage. Their lineage.
Yeah. No, I think he's got it. It's racist.
So Davi's a racist.
Yeah, so if you punch, if anybody bugs the heck out of you when you go to Porkfest or Liberty Fest, Liberty Forum, and you punch them, and everyone surrounds you and says, violated the non-aggression principle, and point the superior Catholic finger at you and say, you violated the non-aggression principle, you can just say, y'all are racist. I'm Scottish. It's my nature.
I wonder if that would get me out of it. I'm not sure it totally would get me out of it. But like, it's funny because there's a Scottish comedian called Kevin Bridges, and he says like Glasgow's got a reputation. That's where I live, and it's got a reputation for being quite a rough city. And he said it's funny because when you kind of go somewhere else, you maybe meet people and you say, "Oh yeah, I'm from Glasgow," and they'll go, "Oh, I hear that's quite a rough city." And then he said, "You get all kind of proud a little bit, and you start your voice changes, and you go, aye." That's a rough city, but I can do it.
Yeah. You know, I went to...
See, when I'm in America, by the way, I'm terrible with my voice. I get way more Scottish. When I've been to America and Canada, I get way more Scottish than I am now. I get like, oh, hey, how's it going?
All we're on a crane. Here in Ben, after the fire, how are the cannon, a hina bin, and the Ven crane.
Well, you know, I think if you were in the US, you'd be confronted with the stereotype of being...
Dan said,
I mean,
what?
The only thing that Americans know about Scotland is Braveheart.
And it's so inaccurate.
And so that would be the stereotype you're struggling with.
Yeah. Okay, Dan.
Wildly inaccurate.
Were you like, what is Michael saying? Is that what that was?
Yeah, I was. That wasn't the Pictish thing.
It was the Pictish thing from the Pink Floyd Umaguma record. Yeah. The piece of music, not really a song, called Several Species of Small Furry Animals Gathered Together in a Cave and Grooving with a Pict. Were Picts Scottish? What's modern day Scots?
Yeah,
Scotland?
Sort of.
There's a lot of debate when you go back to this stuff over like there's the sort of Picts and there's the Celts and there's the Anglo-Saxons, and then you've got this whole Norse immigration to Britain and all this kind of thing. So it kind of gets all muddy when you try and figure out who's who.
My my lineage goes back to when the Anglos met the Saxons, or in other words, when white met bread. That's a Simpsons joke. Davi, you're Scottish, aren't you?
No, apparently I'm not. I can explain that.
Thought you were. Yeah, okay.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Wait, I'm sorry, what'd you say?
He's been disenfranchised. He's afraid to vote in the U.S. now.
I didn't hear what Dan said. Actually, I did, but I wasn't recording, and I am now, so go ahead.
All right, I just said I feel like I've been racially abused.
Aw.
You know, I'm shocking. My feelings are all hurt now.
Hey, can you do an American accent?
No, I can't. I'm notoriously bad at accents. No, man. No, I'm so bad at it. Like, honestly, I'm literally so bad you'd be horribly offended.
Hi, my name's Dan, and I'm from Chicago. Can't you do that? Try that.
Actually, Kat, do you know what? We have a long-running joke in the house because Katie's brilliant at accents. Like, she can do all sorts of, like, Australian, American. She's okay, obviously from Canada.
Well, she's from Canada.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah. You guys are a mixed-race couple. You're Scottish, and she moved there when she was 16.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. 12.
She's Canadian. 12. Isn't Davi Canadian? Aren't you Canadian, Davi?
No, not even a little bit.
I don't know.
Are you desperate to prove Davi's not American or something? Because a minute ago you were like, Davi, you're not Scottish, Davi. You're not Canadian.
Well, Davi grew up
born in Kenya.
Born in Kenya. And you're a secret Muslim on the radio.
You're thinking of running for president.
And you went to madrasa in Indonesia,
right? Exactly.
Is that still going on? Is that still a big thing in like the U.S. media?
With four people, and they all went to Liberty Forum.
I think it's nobody one of these things that will never die. Yeah, nobody. I don't know. I don't know why it's important.
Yeah, Davi, see, the thing is, here we have to take sort of interest in who becomes the U.S. president, because they're probably our prime minister will follow them like a dog into war.
You know why?
You see, that's why you should be allowed to vote. This is why I think everyone in the world should be allowed to vote in U.S. elections. It's a whole taxation without representation thing. Like, if they're going to be affected by the policy, they ought to have a say in it.
Israel votes with their wallet. You know why that is, Daniel? You know why you have to care about who's American president?
Why is that?
Because we're number one. We're number one. We're number one.
Woo! USA.
The USA is even, like, the calling code for US is, like, 001.
Yeah, we're plus 44, so we're 44th.
Yeah. I like that Simpsons where Mr. Burns is at the doctor and he's filling out, Smithers is filling out the form, and he's like, Social Security number? And he's like, ought two. Thank you very much, FDR.
Well, it's like they say the U.S. Scores lowest in academics but highest in self-esteem.
Ouch. I thought that was Ireland.
Ireland, yeah. Having an Irish family, I can tell you that does happen, but not as much as the U.S.
I was sleeping with a girl from Ireland when I was in Germany with my band in 1990 for a couple of weeks, and got to know her pretty well. And at one point, I was like, why are the Irish so proud? And she said, because we have nothing. And when you have nothing, it's easy to have pride because pride's free.
Oh, my.
Okay, I'm going to stop recording for a sec. Talking racial identity on the radio. Did you guys see that thing? That thing I posted to you today, Dan. It was about when liberal social conservatives say things, or liberal social justice warriors say things that sound exactly like Nazis.
I did, and wasn't it weird when it you go through scary. It? I'm not a fan of those things where you need to click through.
Oh, I hate
one.
Link
I'd rather
bait,
it was
man.
Just the one page.
Link
oh
bait,
yeah,
man.
And.
You know, I would pay for a service that converted those things into single pages.
So would I, actually, I would. But no, it was interesting, wasn't it? How, like, they were, like, some of them were videos, some of them were clips, but they basically were social justice people, kind of, a lot of them sounding a bit leftish, shall we say.
Yeah.
And they were making statements that were very similar to statements made by Nazis.
Yeah, yep. So,
have you guys heard of Mein Kampf?
No.
Not Mein Kampf, Mein Kampf.
Is this a men social justice warrior thing?
No, it's a browser plugin that hangs out in the background of your browser and converts all feminist social justice language into Nazi language. So you'll be reading an article, and without even realizing it, you'll read suddenly, would the Jews on the bus please refrain from harassing Nazis
who are, man.
And you're like, what? What did I just read?
Men cuff.
And it's amazing how compatible these two things are.
Yeah. Ugh. There was a plugin, browser plugin that so when you're using a browser and you're surfing the web, there's stuff that's sent over the internet to whatever site you're surfing. There's information there. And this isn't like some plot to spy on you. This is the part of the nature of how the internet works. When you, like, as a webmaster, I can look at the stats and I can see the IP address of the person, or at least the IP address of the VPN they're using. I can see what their operating system is, and I can see what browser they're using. And maybe a couple other tiny things like that. But, you know, it's part of like the feedback that people use for like, oh, if your site keeps crashing somebody, you can tell like what browsers it's doing it on, et cetera. There was a plugin that added a string of text to that information that was all keywords that the NSA uses, like triggers them to spy on you more closely. It was like, you know, bomb, jihad, weapons of mass destruction, just a bunch of like words that...
Is this the carnivore list? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there was a browser that there was a browser plugin that every time you clicked on a website, along with your operating system IP and browser name and, you know, number... version, you would include this string of like 40 words. So everything you searched would trigger NSA scrutiny.
Now, is this to SWAT someone or is this to fog the search engine?
No, people voluntarily put it on their own browsers. It was to fog the search engines. It was kind of the idea of like, you know, make the needle for the haystack bigger for them so we can talk privately. It's just kind of a political move. It doesn't really probably do anything. But, you know, it's that theory of make the haystack bigger and maybe we can, you know, send dirty emails to our wife at work and they won't find them because they're so busy looking at all the other stuff.
There's actually a funny story kind of related to what you're talking about, like that kind of searching things online. I watched a documentary at one point and it was this guy and the police had come to his house because of the things that he'd put into Google. And it was things like, you know, dead bodies, you know, like someone being eviscerated, hanged and stuff like that. All these kind of awful things. But it turned out he was a writer for a program. And I think it was Silent Witness, which is about forensic pathologists.
Yeah, yeah.
So the only reason he was Googling all these, what seemed like awful terms to do with death, was just for notes for his show so he could write the show. But the police actually turned up at his house to ask him why he'd been, you know, Googling all this stuff, which is ridiculous.
I would love to get asked that by the police. It'd be pretty hilarious. I kind of think that being a talk radio host also is, I mean, not that anyone needs an excuse to Google. That's free speech. It's, you know, free action in your own home. It should be. Mm-hmm. But I kind of think that being a talk radio host is an excuse to Google anything. And I do Google anything. Like last night,
the word anything.
Yeah, like, you know, if I'm talking to Counselor Randy England about meth laws, and he talks about some prosecutor presenting evidence in a court where he was about methamphetamine manufacture, I'm searching while he's talking and I'm doing the show. I'm searching, how do you make meth? Because I want to confirm if what he's saying is accurate, because I like to be accurate on the air. Yeah.
Yeah. Worms. It could look bad, though.
I don't care. Because freedom, man.
Yeah, freedom.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
No answer.
Am I being detained?
No answer. Family already in gulag. All right. Worms. We'll be back for hour two. Hey, Cody Wilson's going to be on the show next week.
Worms.
Yeah. Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. I'm recording. Sorry, start that again, Daddy. I wasn't recording.
And I'm familiar with Palladian, which is even worse.
With what?
Palladian. He's talking about Palladian.
So what did you do, Davi? What did you search?
I spent like 4 hours online I was Googling around, and I was trying to figure out if it was possible to derive an injectable sedative from raw valerian root, and if so, how you would do that. Valerian is sort of an herbal sedative, and so I'm like, you know, all injectable, all, you know, processed medicine at some point comes from a derived plant. So how do you actually like make this thing?
Not true. A lot of it comes from, they either come from plants, okay, or not petroleum. All of it, a lot of it comes from petroleum.
But some of it, right?
And there, I know, because I Googled how do you make methamphetamine.
Right. But so, like, there, if valerian works as a sedative at an herbal level, there must be an active ingredient in it somewhere that could be extracted, that could be injected. And I'm doing this for the purpose of Survivor Max. I'm like, this is a plot point in the story, right? Like, I don't actually have any valerian root, and I don't know whether or not that's legal or illegal or what, but I have no interest.
Oh, well, it's legal. You get it. Well, as here, I was going to say, you get it in health food shops here. It's a pity Katie's asleep, actually, because she actually went to college for pharmacy and stuff, so she actually would be able to probably tell you. Oh, no, she's been ill the last couple of days.
Yeah,
I'm scared to wake her up.
Don't wake her up.
Yeah, I know you can buy it in health. I know you can buy it in health food stores.
I think if someone wakes you up,
and we get it here freely,
when it's not an emergency, I think that's a violation of the non-aggression principle, or at least grounds for punching them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Because who knows how important what you were doing was?
Well, I just think sleep's sacred, man. I never mess with anybody sleeping.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the thing is, I'm all for that. When I try and wake Katie up, like sometimes I have to do it because I go to work earlier than her, and the dog goes crazy when I try and wake her up, man. He goes
mental. He's protecting her.
He's not having it at all. Like, even though I'm only kind of lightly sort of touching her and just saying, like, Katie, wake up, he goes off his head every time.
It's because he knows he has those dreams where he's chasing rabbits or something and he doesn't want to be waking
up. He does that hilarious thing where his nose and face switches and his, like, paws move as if he's running, you know, while he's sleeping, and it's as if he's running. It's hilarious.
Hey, you know, you have to consider the fact that the writers or producers of Breaking Bad at some point had to do extensive Googling of how do you prepare ricin to kill somebody with.
Good point.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, there's a good chance that it's not accurate.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things in that show that aren't accurate.
Generally, they intentionally mess steps up in TV and movies when showing somebody making something dangerous. Like, a really good example is Fight Club. In the book, they actually tell you how to make nitroglycerin while you're making soap. In the movie, they replace one of the ingredients with something else that would make an inert, non-explosive product.
It's like the fake anarchist cookbook.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I guess public... it's kind of weird, though, that it seems like there's more leeway for free speech in books than in movies. Maybe it's just because movies cost so much to make.
So the deal with the anarchist cookbook is that there's versions of it online, and to sort of combat the proliferation of it, the government essentially released one where all the recipes were wrong and you might accidentally blow yourself up, and that was their way of discouraging the sharing of
this book. Denaturing nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were denaturing literature.
I actually think it was illegal to have that. I'm going to Google it. I actually think at one point, is it not illegal to have that? Like, I don't know if it's here.
Somebody told me that. I know before. That here it's legal to have it, but you might get a knock on your door if you order it. I have no interest in that kind of stuff.
That's the only reason I don't have guns is because, like, the fact is I'd need to go through jump over all these government hoops and regulations, and the fact is I would have way too much sort of scrutiny on myself, you know, and I don't want that.
I don't have guns. I lost them all in a boating accident. I'm recording. I mean, a voting accident.
I deliver to a gun shelf and stuff, and it's just so difficult here, and I just don't want the thing, mate. I do not want the scrutiny on me, to be perfectly honest.
I'm going to stop recording for a minute. Yeah, so it
was... the prepper crowd in the zombie fandom
overlaps.
Criticizes movies and shows all the time for their poor gun handling.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where I pick up a lot of that stuff.
I'll bet.
Like firing an AK-47 with no magazine in it, for example.
More than once. You can fire one shot. You can fire one shot from an AK with no magazine. I've done it.
Yeah.
But only one.
Taking out a whole pack of dogs is a little less likely.
Yeah. I'm actually shipping some mic stands to a friend. I'm trading a computer for some mics and mic stands. And it's a box that my AK-47 came in, and I had to, like, remove all the stickers from it because I don't want to send something through the mail that's labeled rifle, and it's the size and weight of a rifle with two mic stands in it.
Do you know what makes me kind of think of that? Because one time a member of my family had to ship a bass guitar over to Ireland because it was a left-handed bass, and he lives in a rural part of Ireland.
Here we go. Hang on. All right, who's doing the intro?
I guess that would be me. Freedom Fiends. Welcome to hour number two. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, and I'm reading the wrong feed.
Do the second one. That's the first hour.
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop financial beastly plaza on the artificial satellite Lipair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. And I'm over caffeinated. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. And I'm glad I sent you that.
I should probably pay off the why I'm not Scottish thing.
Yeah, you should. But earlier. I do want to say, I want you guys to have the intro to that because I'm trying to make this show bus-proofed where I could get hit by a bus or just more, far more likely, just not feel like doing six shows a week and pass it off to you guys and have you do it once we get the Fiend phone server in place.
Well, and, just to let you know, Michael, as soon as you're hit by a bus, I'm writing my own show leads.
No, you can't. It's kind of like buying a McDonald's. What's it called? McDonald's franchise. Franchise. You can't change the secret sauce, man. You got to use the secret sauce.
It's Derek, mayonnaise in the sun.
Yeah, it is. But it's mayonnaise and ketchup in the sun. What's that from? That's from Simpsons. Yeah.
Yeah. You can actually buy that at a supermarket here, and it's just called, they just call it burger sauce, but it tastes pretty much just exactly like it.
Yeah, I mean, these days it's pretty much impossible to keep a common foodstuffs formula secret. You know, they used to like guard Pepsi and Coke's and McDonald's formula with like in bank vaults, and it's like, first of all, access to laboratories is not beyond, you know, the private citizen with a bit of money. And secondly, I mean, a good cook can taste something and tell you what's in it. A good chef.
Yeah, I can. Maybe not with Pepsi, but I could definitely do it with a sauce.
Oh, well, the ingredients to Pepsi are on it. I mean, pretty much, except for the flavorings, which is the secret. I mean, it's like what? Phosphoric acid, caffeine, water, and cocaine or something? I forget.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola was cocaine at one point.
Yeah, my mother.
There was actually opium sweets in this country as well. I think it was back in the Victorian times. I
watched a thing about it. Yeah. The Victorian time, lib pear with leeches. All right, so Davi, why aren't you Scottish? Why so you were lied story. To? You were lied to and harmed.
I was lied yes. to. Yeah. my family has a family tartan, and as a result, we all grew up thinking we were Scottish. And so when I got married, I wanted to wear a kilt and I wanted to wear my family's tartan. And so we went and did the research and figured
out
what
your wedding picture is. Awesome.
Thank you.
Yep.
We cut the cake with a big sword, a Celtic sword, and I wore a kilt, and the best man and the both my brothers wore kilts. Anyway, in the process of researching this tartan and what it meant and where it came from, we discovered that we were, in fact, not Scottish. We were actually British, which is funny because we had that whole stereotypical we're Scottish, so we hate the British thing going on in our family, basically. Right. Yeah. I had an identity crisis. But it turned out that at some point in the history of this town, it was a Scottish village and it was attacked by Britain, and our family helped defend it from Britain. And as a result, the clan of that town gave our family permission to wear their tartan, but we were technically British, which is a cool story, but it's just funny to like go your whole life thinking you're one ethnicity and then discover you're the other.
but Davi, see, by British, do you mean English?
Yeah, I mean English.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to, because like people talk about British, and this came up in the Scottish independence referendum debate, are we Scottish, are we British, and all this kind of thing. I don't think Britishness is a thing. I've never considered myself British a day in my life.
Well, yeah, it's like American is not a thing, right? It's a, yeah. Fair enough, you're right, I mean English.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to do, yeah, it's just me. I'm racially sensitive because of all the racial abuse you've been hitting me with this evening, you know.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's a whole self-loathing thing I've got going on. I resent a true Scotsman. I think that's what it is.
I think I've been waiting to use something about no true Scotsman in an episode title with, maybe it should be no true Scotsman punches someone in the face when they irritate them. That's the episode
title.
There you go. Yeah.
Maybe I should begin using the moniker untrue Scotsman.
Ooh, I like it.
I like it too, actually. Do you know that I've never worn a kilt in my life because I have no family tartan. Because my family are Irish,
sissy
I have no
boy.
Family tartan, so never. When and I don't have any desire to wear a kilt, to be perfectly honest. When I get married, I'll
only Americans do.
I swear, you know what? To Americans, like Scotland, Ireland, these places are like Narnia. Like, they're these fantasy places where there's these cultures we know nothing about, and it's nothing like what's really
going
on.
Ireland.
It's like we think we're wandering into Middle Earth or something. It's like, no, it's a real country, and there's a culture there.
Yeah.
And they don't really care about all your fantasy books.
So. And it's more Americanized, the mainstream culture, than you would imagine. It's very American.
London and a lot of England and Ireland, you can barely tell you're not in America except for the accents and that things are
I wouldn't disagree. And so many American TV shows and stuff like that, so American culture is a big deal here.
So,
but then it turns out, like, most of all my favorite actors are turning out to be British. That's interesting.
Yeah, but they do English. Like, they do American accents. Like the Irish woman who plays the Irish not a zombie. She's the one that's keeping her husband's zombified head alive in Walking Dead.
Yeah, Clara. Yeah. I think it's Clara.
That actress is also the actress who plays the American stepdaughter of Mike in Better Call Saul.
Well, Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick, and David Morrissey, who plays the governor, are both British.
Yes.
So they've got these like fake.
So is the guy who plays House. The guy who plays House.
The guy who plays House. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that it's
a lot of people
probably easier for
throw in one Michael if you don't mind.
I'll shut up. Go ahead.
A lot of people don't understand is Gerard Butler is Scottish. A lot of people think
that
he's American. Gerard Butler is in a lot of these big Hollywood he's a big Hollywood star. He's actually from a place called Paisley up the road from me. But if you watch any of his movies, he's in movies with like Jennifer Aniston, like The Bounty Hunter, these, you know, crappy, you know, Hollywood comedies. But like a lot of people think he's American, but no, he's Scottish.
And then Andrew Lincoln, he adopted the name Lincoln just to sound American. His real name is like Buttercup or something weird like that. Like, I'm going to have to look it up.
That's funny. Buttercup.
That's awesome. Buttercup.
I don't know what his real name is. Let me give you a
funny,
second.
Man. I got it. Hey, you know, my internet is down, but it's still up. And everybody who's donated to the Freedom Fiends back when I was like, I need money because I need to buy a second internet connection. You're experiencing that now because I'm not knocked off the air. We're doing the show and it's only over the DSL. My cable is down. I just looked over and my phone says, check telephone line. And so I searched, what is my IP? And it pulled up IP of my DSL line, not my my cable line. So, yep, it's working.
I was really close. The guy's name is Andrew Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck.
And that is a much worse name than Lincoln.
Can you say that on radio?
Clutterbuck? I don't know. Does it mean something?
I don't know. It sounds like something you can't say on radio.
Sounds like something they say in Monty Python, probably.
It does.
Buttercup. Yeah, right. Don't say too fast.
So, Dan, are you a fan of Better Call Saul and Walking Dead?
Not so much Walking Dead. I'm a fan of Better Call Saul, but bear in mind, I think we're a bit behind you guys in terms of how many episodes have been released. That's why I can't listen to the kind of newer fiends that are about Better Call Saul. I have to wait a bit till I've seen the episodes because I don't want anything spoiled for
you
me.
You don't,
because they get
torrents?
Them released once a week.
You don't have the torrents there?
We're having trouble getting it. See, since they shut down the Pirate Bay, there's been a lot of trouble with torrents. Not that I ever used the Pirate Bay in any way or the Proxy Bay.
Well, no,
I never used them. But
I would never use them either. But I've heard that people use, and I would never recommend this, but I've heard that people use something called cat, cat.ph, which reverts to cat.to or TC or something and works.
I did not write that down.
Yeah, that's okay. Good. We're good boys and girls here. Well, we're good boys. So we can't talk about Better Call Saul, huh?
I'm only a few episodes in, so like...
Yeah, well, you're going to be so surprised when the aliens descend and invade Albuquerque.
I know, and you find out that Saul is actually a time traveler from the Middle Ages.
That's why he looks older now.
And he had a sex change. He used to be a woman. But they did a good job. He looks like a young Paul Newman.
I was going to be worried that it was going to be like some dodgy sitcom like Joey was like Joey. When I first heard about it.
Joey.
Yeah, like
as if Friends was good.
Spin-off from Friends that everyone remembers. You know, I didn't mind Friends. It was or Trapper. It had or its moments.
How about Trapper John M.D., which was a spinoff of MASH. With the character Trapper John played by a different actor than played him on TV. I watched the movie MASH the other day. Do you guys ever seen it? I'd never saw it. I've been watching all the MASH. I've been watching all the MASH episodes and yeah. Oh, you've never seen the movie? Wow. It's pretty interesting. It's got a lot of the movie came out in 1970. The TV show started in 72. Yeah, it's got a lot of the same, like it kind of sets the stage for a lot of what's in the TV show, but but Donald Sutherland or no Kiefer, who's the older one? Donald, right?
Yeah, Donald.
I don't know their names.
Yeah, Donald Sullivan plays.
Kiefer's the younger one. Yeah.
Yeah, Donald Sullivan plays Hawkeye.
Not really.
Yeah, and Robert Duvall plays Winchester. Not Winchester, Frank Burns. And Elliot Gould.
I used to watch that.
Yeah, and Elliot Gould plays the Trapper John. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's directed by Robert Altman. I'd recommend checking it out. It's not a movie proper. It's more like there's less three-act format in it than there is in the TV show MASH. I mean, it's more like a series of vignettes. Yeah.
Groovy.
Yep. All right.
Sometimes that really works. There was a British film called Coffee and Cigarettes one time years ago, and it was like an independent movie, but they had a lot of quite famous people, and it was
that's not
just
a British
a load
film.
Of like
cigarettes and coffee. That's the guy who did. No, wait,
I'm thinking of.
It's got like Iggy Pop in it and Tom Waits and.
No, wait. Do you know what? I'm just because my main recollection
film,
of it is of Steve Coogan. That's the same one Steve Coogan was in, wasn't it? Where he. Do you know Steve Coogan? Are you familiar with him? The guy.
No. Oh, wait.
No, I don't know.
Oh, is he the guy that does. Yeah, I think I know. He's a British.
He plays Alan Partridge and he's a comedian and he's been in a bunch of films.
Yeah, he does that one where he plays an exterminator and his wife's a kinky anarchist. A curvy kinky anarchist.
He plays a radio host in a show I'm Alan Partridge, but like a kind of terrible one. It's quite funny.
Yeah. We'll be back.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom's Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Rail rule.
I know. Well, I figure if your voice is hoarse enough, it doesn't matter. Nice use of the terminology, though, the phenology, the fiend speak. So our crackhead research team, Derek J., just wrote me and informed me that Jim Jarmusch wrote Coffee and Cigarettes. And yeah, I like that guy, man. He's good. I like his movie, Down by Law, is one of my favorite movies ever. And it's a really hard movie to like for a couple of reasons. One is three of the main actors in it. First of all, there's basically three people in the whole movie. I mean, there's a couple other people here and there who have one or two lines, but there's basically three people in the movie, and two of them are non-actors. The one actor is Roberto Bertinini. What is his name? I don't remember his name. The short, little, fun, weird, sexy, balding Italian actor. But the other two are Tom Waits and John Laurie from the Lounge Lizard. So it's like two musicians who are pretty much non-actors and a really, really good actor. And the movie's black and white, like a lot of Jarmusch's movies are. And it's a really good movie to demonstrate to people the delineations of the hero's journey. Have you guys seen the movie Down by Law?
No. I don't think so.
Okay. It's a really good movie to explain to people three-act format, because the three acts are absolutely cut and dry. A lot of times in movies, you kind of can't tell. Like, you have a feeling you're around the end of the second act and towards the start of the third act. But in this movie, the three acts take place in completely different locations. The first act takes place in the French Quarter of New Orleans. The second act takes place in a prison cell or a jail cell. And the third act takes place in the swamps of Louisiana. Absolutely, like, you could almost put title cards, like beginning of act two. And it's an amazing movie, man. I really love it. I've seen it a lot of times. I highly recommend the movie Down by Law. It's a lot better than Coffee and Cigarettes, which is a really watchable movie, actually. So I'm just talking to Derek J. I'm talking to one guy on nationally syndicated radio. And, you know, if Derek wants to jump on here, man, I know he doesn't do enough radio because his voice probably sounds about like mine some of the time. So if he wants to jump on, he can email me and I'll send him an invite through the Fiend phone response system. So what do you guys want to talk about?
Debbie?
I suppose I should credit Derek J. He is the one who introduced me to Mancomf.
So of course he did.
I don't actually have this app. He was just showing me to me what it does and explaining it to me. Yeah, that sounds funny.
Yep. He is very un-PC. I like that.
Yeah, I talked to him for the first time like on Monday there, and it was so funny because I'd never spoke to him before, and I was late because, like we mentioned, the daylight savings time, but we had a lot of fun, actually. We had such a laugh.
Yeah, he's great.
And despite what my mother says, I'm going to get a second date with that man.
What?
What is that?
Wow. I mean, what? Wow. Just kidding. That's something Katie said to me after it, because Derek J was kind of kidding on that we were on a blind date, and Katie said, you know, despite what your mother says, you are second date material. It's only a joke. My mother's a lovely woman, though.
The show that I was talking about was Steve Coogan, that I love and watched all two seasons through on Facebook, on Netflix, like four or five times. It's called Saxondale. You ever seen that?
Oh, yes. He plays like an ex-roadie.
Yeah.
But now he's like a pest control guy. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a funny show.
And
it's really good.
He's a total Americanophile. Like, he drives a Mustang GTO or something. That guy reminds me so much of me, the character he plays in that, which you guys might not know from, you haven't spent a lot of time around me, but he's very much like me. He also carries weapons.
So you're Tommy Saxondale?
I'm Tommy Saxondale. I'm a 50-year-old anarchist married to a 50-year-old like guy with, I don't have anger management problems, but I have I think that anger management problems in England have a lower threshold than they do in America. I think he's just acting American, you know, but he has to go to group therapy for it there, but yeah, man.
And then there's the thing that his wife runs like an offensive t-shirt shop
in the mall.
Like, they get shut down and stuff.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. And she's an anarchist. She calls herself an anarchist.
Totally.
And she's kind of my type of gal. And man.
Like you should it. Listen to I'm Alan Partridge. Well, listen to watch it. It's a great show, man.
I went and watched several things that he's in after I fell in love with this show, and none of it really did it for me because it was partially his acting and writing, but it was also partially the character he created in this because it really, I mean, you know, the guy's a 50-year-old has-been who used to be around the rock scene who's still kind of living it in his mind. It's me, man. Yeah.
It's cool, though. There's not a lot of Americans that know that stuff.
Worms.
That I know of.
Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You have the feeling like you have a property right in your place in line when you don't, really, not philosophically.
It's just, for me, it's... Even if you just take it down to fair play, you know, cutting in front of someone in line is not fair play.
I like that. I think I'm going to call this episode, is it a violation of the non-aggression principle to punch someone in the nose for being a jerk, and does it matter? Someone told me my titles are too long. It's bad SEO, but I don't care. I like it. It says what it is.
Sometimes our titles are way too long as well. Don't care.
All right, here we go.
What's the clickbait thing, right?
Here we go. So we're talking during the break. We're going to call this episode, is it a violation of the non-aggression principle to punch someone in the face for being a jerk, and does it matter? And someone recently did SEO analysis of the Fiend site and said that my titles are too long and you get marked off on points by Google in SEO for that. But I don't care, because that pretty much says what we're talking about.
It's the clickbait thing, right? If the headline gets auto-filled somewhere, the person's going to be like, what does the rest of that headline say? I have to click ahead to know.
So you're saying the title should be, is it a violation of the non-aggression principle to punch someone in the nose for being a jerk, ... And then in the show notes, it should say, ... And does it matter?
No, it should be, it may be a violation of the non-aggression principle to do this to a jerk, and you'll never guess what it is.
Okay, I'll do that. I got it. All right, I'm gonna write that up while you guys discuss our thesis. Go ahead. I just want to have a general discussion of, Davi touched on some mad science in the first hour and said something I've never heard anyone in Liberty say, I don't even know what it was. Yeah, it was cool. It was groundbreaking. And, you know, I'm not that good at coming up with groundbreaking stuff, but I'm really good at noticing when my friends do and making bumper stickers out of it, or buttons or t-shirts, or saying, hey, that should be a thing. Like when Jim Jesus said that a good name for sovereign citizens is attorney at lol. He said he spelled it different than LOL, though. I simplified it to LOL. I homesteaded it, so it's part mine. But... and Davi, I think you said something. We may have to go back and find it in the first hour. Do you remember what it was? It was that the non-aggression principle is not this, it's that.
It's not statutory law, it's customary law.
Yeah. Expand on that.
That's a big topic, but there's essentially a number of different kinds of law, and people pretend like everything is statutory law, but in a free society where there's no state writing law, there is no statutory law. So we really should be talking about frameworks that they're around, you know, contractual law, customary law, and natural law. And the boundaries between customary law and natural law are muddy. And we like to pretend that we could write a statutory law that is the same as natural law and it'll cover everything. So essentially, libertarians essentially pretend like they're legislators of a free society.
They really do,
and
man. Just,
that's not how a free society is going to work. Sorry to tell you guys.
Like, I say that most libertarians spend most of their time arguing how many libertarians could dance on the head of a pin, which that's a saying, is that I think it was something that was used in the 1700s to make fun of, like, by religious people to make fun of religious scholars who spent so much time in the academia of the discussion and the debate about what this passage or that passage means, instead
how
of
many angels can dance on the head
yeah,
of
yeah instead of actually practicing the principles in their life.
I've been to Porkfest. Libertarians can't dance.
MK Lords can.
MK Lords can't. I've dance. Seen video. That's true.
You know, I didn't even encounter her at Porkfest, which is Dan asked, like, well, if I go, if Katie and I go to Pork, if Katie and I go to Porkfest, I can't do it. If you know, you're saying like you're worried, like, oh, what if people don't like us? The thing about Porkfest is it's big enough that you can kind of. What I noticed is it's kind of like a bunch of little planets with their own little satellites rotating around each other, and sometimes they brush by each other. Like, you know, there's. So
like, do you mean like cliques?
Yeah, like there's the Pete Air group. If you're in the Pete Air group, you're only going to see people that hang out with like and like Pete Air. If you're in the Fiends camp, I mean, the Fiends camp was actually like literally almost outside of town. It was up at Ben Stone's trailer, camper trailer, and like on the other side of it, like facing away from everybody. So like nobody even knew we were up there, you know, pretty much. But yeah, it was cool, man.
So here's the thing. Statutory law, meaning state law, is famous for its intolerance.
Yeah.
It's rigid, it's bureaucratic, it's officious, and it attempts to cover all scenarios with a limited number of words. And that's why it always fails. Customary law is not intolerant. It's designed to sort of allow the prudent person to reassess all scenarios at all times to keep the thing fluid. And I mean, essentially, the question is not what sort of intolerant court system can we come up with that will correctly prosecute aggression. The question is going to be what customs will arise in a free society sort of organically to deal with jerks. And it may be that when somebody punches a jerk, there's just nobody interested in a justice system that prosecutes that person. And so it may be that the custom becomes there are certain things you can't say without getting punched, or there are certain lines you can't cross without getting punched. And even though philosophically they might say this is a violation of the non-aggression principle, a free market justice system might not have the money and might not be interested, or not the money, but the demand to deal with that.
You know,
and
I was
that's
at a,
okay.
I was at a Grateful Dead show. I've been to several. It's true. Back in the day. And there were these two like meatheads from Maryland who showed up at this Dead show I was at Meriwether Post Pavilion. And they were just, you know, they were like, oh, let's go mess with the hippies. And they were just walking around just messing with everybody. They didn't lay a hand on anybody, but they were making people think they were going to. And all these beatific hippies were just like, hey man, bad vibes, get away. And I saw these two hippies, or they looked like hippies, while these guys were walking around to people's campgrounds messing with them. I was sitting up on this hill smoking weed with my girlfriend, and I saw these two kind of more like bikery looking hippies. They picked up a nail. They picked up a board and drove three nails through it and snuck up to these guys' car and put it under their wheel. I thought that was the funniest thing I ever saw, man. And I saw the guys finally get back in their car, drive away, and I heard the tire go, and I saw them trying to drive out of there with a flat tire. It was funny, man. And I don't see any problem with that. I really don't.
But see, that's the funny thing, right? You have it's like jury nullification in every dispute. That's the way a free society would work, right? Mm-hmm. So if you did that to my car and I had a tort against you, I'm sure most people would say, you know, that wasn't cool, and they would participate in a jury, and they would probably want to prosecute you that for that, or, you know, at least replace my tire or something. But if every juror thinks that guy's a jerk and wishes they'd thought of it too, then nobody's going to prosecute, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And I was saying to you during the break that I went to Disneyland in Europe, Euro Disney in France, and there's a lot of people that cut in front of you in line, and that really annoys me. I think it's just, for me, it's taken as a given that we'll do this, you know, we'll stand orderly and we'll just wait. Do you know who are good at doing that? The Japanese, man. I think I'd got on well in Japan.
they queue up politely, is that what you're saying?
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, if we're not even agreeing on standing in a line, right, then, you know, how can we agree on anything? I mean, cutting in line really annoys me. Maybe it's this whole sort of people talk about people from the UK and they're so obsessed with this kind of thing, politeness and whatnot. But I mean, come on, if we've got to all live here together, it's like not holding the door open for someone, you know what I mean? If, like, you're coming in and out of a shop, you don't have to, but if we're all going to have to live here together, I mean, let's just do it nicely.
Yeah. You know who's really bad?
No, but see, that's the thing. You know, it's just really a matter of...
Hang on. You know who's really bad at that is old Chinese ladies in San Francisco. And I hate to collectivize, but they're all like that. Like, if you're downtown San Francisco, you're waiting for a bus going to or from Chinatown area, and there's a lot of Chinese people there. When the bus comes, if it's full, if it looks like people aren't going to all get a seat or even get on the bus, there will be this like mad crush of like 20 or 30, like 60-year-old plus Chinese women who literally just like shove you out of the way and get on the bus before you do, even if you're in the front of the line.
It was like that in Saudi Arabia. I was trapped on the top floor of a shopping mall because I couldn't push my way into an elevator. Like, there were no stairs on that floor. Like, literally, I'm first in line waiting for the elevator. The door would open, and then the people in the elevator and the people waiting for the elevator would cram up against each other, no orderly fashion whatsoever, and I couldn't get in the elevator even though I was first in line.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If you like lines, all that it takes to establish this custom in a free society is to put up a sign in one location. And the moment people realize that it's orderly and superior to whatever their current custom is, it will adopt. It will spread virally, not legislatively.
Yeah, but an attorney at law would stand there yelling at the sign saying, "Show me your authority to say this to me."
Mm. Right.
That's a good
point.
Well,
I guess it would be the deed.
The deed of the landowner or
of the building. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, cause maybe it's the other way. Maybe you're like, you know what? I really like not having a line. Maybe I would rather set up my grocery store where it's first come first serve and everyone just gets in fights to get to the clerk, you know, like I could put up a sign to that. So the purpose of signage is to clarify that which is not customary. Does that make sense?
That's brilliant.
It does, actually. Yeah, because you have certain expectations. Like I said, like here I've got certain expectations of basic politeness. You know, I'm not like Mr. Personality. I'm not out talking to everyone I meet in the street, but I'm basically polite when I'm out because I just think when someone's not basically polite to me, it really, really bothers me for some reason. I don't know why. So, like, I just think if we're going to live here together, let's be nice to each other. It doesn't hurt, you know. Like holding a door open for someone, even if you hate that person, it doesn't really matter, does it?
If sure. you hate, and yeah. you said hate, not hit, to clarify people who don't understand your
hate.
Accent.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I don't think my accent's too thick.
You know, in Wyoming, it's very common for men to open doors for women, and it's not just like men
it's
opening
here, yeah.
it's not just opening doors for women of a similar age. It's like of any age, men of any age and boys will open doors for women of any age. And I like that. I don't think I've always opened doors for women. And because here's why, this is kind of weird training. My mother would not get in the car until my dad would open the door for her, which is really weird and bizarre, but I just thought it was a nice thing to do, and I've always done it.
Even if I'm on a bus, like a crowded bus, and there's like a lady comes on and I'm sitting down, man, I'll get up and offer my seat, because that's just, for me, I imagine that everyone's thinking that's what I should do anyway, but for me, it's just basic manners, you know, just to, yeah. I don't know, but then some feminists would probably tell me that I'm sexist for doing that.
For giving your seat to a lady. Yeah, I won't give my seat to a woman just because she's a woman on a bus, but I will definitely give my seat to anybody who is infirm or even old or just looks really tired or is carrying a lot of stuff. All right, we'll be
basic
back
courtesy.
For the redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
For some reason in this country and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, F-E-E-N-P-H-O-N-E.com. Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Redemption in the final act. So take it, Davi. Talk more about your thick libertarianism.
Yeah, so when we talk about thick and thin libertarianism, there's a thin libertarian is a person who wants a society based on nothing but the non-aggression principle. And a thick libertarian is one who's like non-aggression principle plus, right? And so if there was any thick libertarian in me, it is this, and that is that I'm a critarchist, which is a person who believes in a system of customary law. And the reason for that, for me, is that I actually think customary law is more powerful and more integral to human society than statutory law. It even overpowers it. And to some extent, this is why civil disobedience is so powerful, because civil disobedience in a movement means you're establishing the custom of not obeying statutory law. And if you get rid of the custom of obeying authority, statutory law evaporates. But if you outlaw customary law, it can't be done. And so customary law, the customs of a culture are actually more integral to it than the laws of a culture. So yeah, I mean, this is sort of what I think a free society looks like, is one where the customs of the people are their system of law, not the words on paper.
And if people want to know what those dropouts were, it was me opening up another window so I could get the IP address to give to Derek J so he can jump on, because he wants to, on Fiendphone. All right, here we go. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny, Davi, like you talk about like a culture and sort of customs and things, because Katie and I did a show recently with this guy from the Libertarian Alliance. He's their director. He's called Sean Gabb, but here in the UK. And he was talking about how he's taught in classrooms with people from all over the world. And he asked if there's this idea of selling your soul, for example, in your fairy tales. And a lot of the people from sort of eastern parts of the world said no, but people from particularly Western Europe said, oh yeah, of course. And he said it's funny because if you actually look at a lot of fairy tales, that idea that you own yourself, which is something that, you know, as libertarians, we say we own ourselves, it seems like it's embedded, like that idea that your soul is yours to sell in the first place. It's that back to, you know, that I own myself thing.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, that's interesting. Is the soul the self? Because a lot of times we're talking about the body, and a person who's sold their soul still is in possession of their body. So, I mean, that's a whole mind-body dichotomy
thing. It depends then, because then we could go back to ancient Greek philosophers and different definitions of whether the soul is material or not. But it's not very punchy for radio just now, Davi, I don't think.
When I was in high school, I sold my soul for $200 in Boardwalk, and I still lost the game. So I don't know what that means.
There was I know this is weird enough, the point. There was a company here, a game shop just called Game, and they put into their terms and conditions on their website that nobody reads, and Game will own your eternal soul or something like that for all eternity. And something like
put that in the BIPCOM
a million
license.
People or something. Yeah, apparently a million people or something like basically agreed to sell their soul to a game company, and then they told a newspaper like that shows. I mean, who does read those things?
That's really funny.
Well, I don't know why anyone ever assumed that you got only one. I mean, what if it's something that you like generate? Like if I sold my soul and then I am Sans soul, does one begin regenerating immediately? How long does one take to generate? Because you regenerate all your skin cells in 7 years. So you say you own your body.
Oh yeah, and that is reincarnation, because you could say, because if you look at an old picture of yourself, that is simultaneously you and simultaneously not you, because
every particle in that photograph is not you.
I think that's not true.
People would recognize it as being you.
I think it's not true. I think
yeah,
brain
I'll
cells.
Bet it's not.
I think that the brain cells you have by the time you're like a teenager are the ones you have till you're dead.
Oh,
yeah, weird. I'll bet that's true. Yeah. But you know, brain cells don't reflect the light. There's too much skin in the way.
The one I read before is that your eyes stay the same size your whole life, so that's why babies look like they have massive eyes, because they stay the same size. There you go.
Although
that's
it's the opposite with anime characters. With anime characters, they have big buggy eyes unless they're the bad guys, and then they have beady little eyes.
Oh, anime, it's skinny.
So there we go. That's the Freedom Beans for you.
Good show, guys.
For some reason, we ended on talking about the soul.
I'm waiting for Derek J to come on. They're like, fiend phone, and then the show to be over. Come on, Derek. Come on, Derek. Get on there. Get in there.
Come on, Derek. You got a couple of seconds. You can do
it. To race against the clock.
That was me getting on with him. On Monday, though.
Yeah. There should be a diet called the Thin Libertarian Diet.
Eat nothing but the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, eat nothing. All right. Worms.
Worms.
Worms.